Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Rhyme Alarm, and you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
Why doesn't that say Geeter? Could really Barney Geeter be too long? Is that why?
I don't know. You guys haven't changed one thing since I started co-hosting the show 9 months ago.
Hey, your spot is still tenuous. You can be let go at any time. You're an at-will employee.
It's really ridiculous.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Net Live. It is the 6th of December, 2010. We are glad you're here on this early morning edition, setting off at 8:30 in the morning. So we're glad you've joined us. A lot of exciting stuff going on in the world of volleyball. Myself, Kevin Barnett, Chris Geeter McGee sitting next to me here in the home court, and Reed Pretty live from Russia, hanging in there. We understand he's in his penthouse apartment and just got the internet hooked up.
That's real nice.
That's right. It's a good day, and if it sounds hollow, it's because there's no furniture yet.
Living large, but living on the floor.
Can you just like picture him with headphones on and just sitting in like a cold, dark living room?
His back's going to hurt after 2 hours on tile. It's going to be tough. But hey, it's been a big week in the sport of volleyball. The NCAA tournament, we previewed it last week. It got underway. We are down to the Sweet 16. We'll be all over that with ourselves and the College Volleyball Weekly. Both Dave Reed and Holly McPeak will be here to talk about the results and talk about this next week of action. In international news, Greek volleyball is dead. Their league is suspended. We're going to tell you a little bit about that. We'll review our bracket challenge. We put up a bracket challenge out there for the NCAAs, and we put that up on the college bracket website, and there have been some interesting results. Geeter, you got 34 teams, right? You got no teams, no points at all, nothing.
I have no idea why it's not updating my score, and I'm upset about it, but I had the pick of the tournament, obviously, with Missouri upsetting University of Northern Iowa. The 5 seed.
We'll get to that. We'll get to how awesome your picks were.
Can I read some real quick a hate tweet I had about you 2 days ago?
Okay,
this is
fine.
Amazing read.
Yeah.
It says, at Geeter3, tell Barnett that he better tone down the Karai bashing, or he could end up working in a Mikasa factory in Vietnam for $1 an hour. That's a tweet I got. It's amazing. Sorry, I had to get that in there. I just came across it.
That
fantastic.
Is awesome. I love it. All right, so we'll review the real brackets, and we'll also have a mascot bracket challenge. Mm. We're going to play out the rest of the tournament just based on mascots. So we're talking Nittany Lions versus Sooners. We're talking Gators versus Boilermakers, that kind of thing. We're going to decide who the champion would be if the mascots fought each other gladiatorial style.
Gators, by the way, were down 2-1 and down 12-8 in the fifth against Florida State and came back and won 17-15. And unfortunately, LMU Lions and the Cal State Northridge Matadors are not in this tournament, or we would have a great shot at going to the national semifinals.
You think the Matadors would have a chance?
Matadors would smash your little Pepperdine Waves.
We're crashing right over that stupid outfit you have on. Well, the Pierce Brahmas, you got me there. Your whole deal is to manipulate me. All right, so we have 3 guests planned for you today in addition to our witty banter, as usual. We have Pepperdine assistant coach Tim Jensen. He's going to come on and talk about the fact that Pepperdine got left out, why they got left out, his opinion on the seeding and selection committee. We're going to have Julianne Fawcett, senior outside hitter from the Texas Longhorns, her team about to match up with UCLA in the Sweet 16. We'll talk to her about the tournament so far and her team. And also Albert Hanneman, Albie, coming on, beach player many of you know, been around for a long time, one of the best self-promoters in the game. He has a little announcement to make about a tour they're putting on.
He has an announcement to make. He also does volleyball vacations around the world. He's very successful at that, and he'd be fun to talk to.
Yeah, he'll be great. So we'll have some great information there on trying to clarify the 2011 beach season. What the heck's going to happen? Who's going to be involved? I think we've said before there are going to be a lot of players. We know USA Volleyball's a player. We know Albie's going to announce something. We know that there's some potential for the AVP.
Yeah. Players had a meeting last week.
Did they?
Yeah. at the MAC, which is the facility that Matt Ferbringer and his wife Joy own. And I actually talked to Matt about it, and he said they actually got something done. He said it was actually
really
nice. They're kind of on the same page. I know they're looking at you know, Hans's PBVA tour structure, and so when something does happen, they're all going to be on the same page. He was very positive about the player meeting.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear that the players are actually realizing they need to be together.
Over under 17 times a day that I'm asked what's going on for next year. It's real difficult.
I still think it's 3 years before we really have a clear picture of who's going to dominate that space, whether it's Albie and his group or whether it's some other new group coming in or it's IMG and USAV. Who knows who it's going to be taking care of that space. But listen, we'll have more information on the beach next week as well. We'll have USAV Beach Managing Director Dave Williams. He'll be on the program. And we have heard from Nick Lewin and the group formerly known as the AVP. He's expressed interest in coming back on the show and promised not to put us on hold this time.
Back on this show?
This show. I just hope he's not in the bathroom when he calls this time. I don't know where he was, but definitely there was no furniture. Maybe it was Reed's apartment. I don't know.
Reed's going to have to be on that show just for a little. You know, he's got to be the mediator.
Reed just wants to be like, hey, Nick, you know, you're really great. I love you. So let me just talk about yourself and how awesome you are.
God, you guys have gotten on. You've moved on.
We don't have to go Keanu Reeves on him. We just have to maybe let's go one positive question and then one, you know.
One positive question, like, what'd you have for breakfast, Nick? Tell us about it.
I think he just called your Reed imitation Keanu Reeves. Like, Utah, get me two. He gave you a Point Break reference right there. It was unbelievable.
I like that. So we've got a lot of interesting stuff coming up in the future here on the Net Live. And you know what else? We want to hear from somebody besides Eric Sullivan. We know Eric Sullivan's going to call in at some point during the show. That's a guarantee. We can deliver that week
after
week.
Did the time change throw Esau off? He's usually in his desk at his desk at that time.
He's on Midwest time. I'll bet he's still awake. It's 10:30 back there. So 347-677-1525. Give us a call at some point during the show. We will do our best to get to you. We even have a new call screening feature, so we might know who's
calling.
That's
exciting.
And where they're calling from. Won't that be nice? All right, so question of the day. After the first round of matches, do you think the NCAA got the seeding right? That's the question of the day. So if you want to call in and tell us your opinion on the seeding, results for some of the different conferences.
The answer is no, Kevin.
That was easy. I guess nobody needs to call in now, do they?
That. I mean, you had Texas UCLA playing each other second round.
Yeah.
Northern Iowa's the 5 seed.
Yeah, but why is Texas UCLA playing each other second round a problem? UCLA nearly went out to American University in the first round, had to win 3-2. And the way I heard it, American should have won, kind of blew it. So maybe UCLA's not that good. Hate to say that. My boy Mike Seeley, head coach.
If you're going off RPI and you're going off rankings, they were what, 8th in the country, 9th in the country? Texas was 7 or 6?
Well, the Pac-10,
you know, come on.
Let's get
Hawaii
into this,
has to
this.
Go play Washington in Washington at 28-3. By
yeah.
the way, that guy from
Hawaii
Washington,
didn't win their own
that guy from Washington on Volley Talk hates you. He loves our show. This is amazing. He loved our show. He's talking about it on Volley Talk. And the second Barney picked Michigan, he acted like the show should be off the air forever. And
huge,
hated you.
Huge reaction to yeah. last week's show on Volley Talk. Yeah. It was, oh, this show is great. I'm listening right now. This is terrific. And, oh, my God, he picked Michigan. This show is stupid.
Yeah, who is this guy?
And Mick Haley, boy, he stirred up something, didn't he? That
he
sucker
got
went 3,070
hits.
Wow. And 6 pages worth of comments.
Can I read
I
this?
Think only about a page and a half of it was each other, people hating on each other.
Yeah, it was, you know, the same 4 people going back and forth. AY2013, the Husky Dog Pack.
Yeah.
This is great. I'm just re-listening to the entire thing. And then all of a sudden, well, it was great until one of these guys questioned if UW should have gotten in the tournament. Really? A 21-8 Pac-10 team is questionable? Who is this nut? He's talking about you, Barney. And then he said both of us picked against UW. I actually have UW going to the Sweet 16, so I'm not quite sure what the guy's talking about.
Well, that was the funny part.
I do have him losing to Nebraska.
Maybe we need to identify ourselves each time we speak.
And then he's heckling Holly about the PSU regional being easy, and the guy just went on. And then he said the same announcer questioned if UW should have gotten into the tournament and that Hawaii has to fly across the country. Really? Seattle is across the country? This guy hates you, Marty. Actually, he hates me, and I picked his team, so this is fantastic. I love this.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with hating on us.
Oh, God,
I'm just glad
fantastic.
You're listening.
Thank God you're listening.
Well, you know, there's been a bit of a mixed bag from this tournament. So you look at the Pac-10 in particular. UCLA nearly gone in the first round. Makes it to the third round now. You look at, am I get that right? The third round. Jeez, you know, now I'm all worried they're going to hate on me here. So UCLA nearly goes out against American. Then they play Texas. Texas beats them 3-1. So UCLA out. Arizona gone in the first round. That was a pick that crushed me. I had them going to the Final Four. And
yeah, that one hurt me as well.
And the Washington State Huskies. Washington Huskies, round of 16. So they're playing well. So sort of a mixed bag. I mean, obviously the big teams did well. Stanford's still in. Cal still in. SoCal. USC still in. So I don't know. Pac-10, okay. They're pretty strong. I'll give them that.
I was surprised LSU went out first round to Tulsa. I'm not too surprised that Oklahoma is in the Sweet 16. They're playing great. And remember, Sullivan came on this show last week and said, look out for Oklahoma. They're a team that can make a run. I think Dayton going out kind of surprised some people. Indiana in the Sweet 16 to play USC. The great match was San Diego versus USC in the second round. It was 31-29 in the fourth, USC. So San Diego gave them all they could handle.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Cal, Nebraska, all there. I think the big game was Washington-Hawaii. You know, you play that in Seattle, you play against a good Washington team. That game could go either way, and Washington took care of them. Swept them, actually.
Yeah, Washington 3-0.
So that's the one game I got to see, actually, from overseas. They do a good job of keeping their matches online. And it kind of looked like it was one spiker against another spiker with five defenders on each side.
That's just with people just blasting?
Yeah, just two hitters each side and just going nuts.
Kenani Danielson from Hawaii is really their go-to player. Three-time All-American, by the way. By the way, I just want to say that I'm undefeated in the Austin bracket. Undefeated.
Nice.
Okay. So I have one bracket picked perfectly.
You still
have Arizona
zero
crushed
points.
Me in the other one.
I don't know why you have 0 points, though.
Yeah, because your bracket challenge sucks. Because you did something wrong as the manager commissioner, where it's not updating all the points.
I'll take that and the Washington.
Thank you.
Just heap it all on me.
Yep.
You know, Washington, the performance they put on against Hawaii, 17-11-23.
Who is this nut, the guy said, Reed, because Barney picked Michigan. I mean, Michigan is a good team. It's not that he was, you know, worst pick ever.
So Hawaii demonstrates how not to peak in a season.
Lipscomb killed us.
Lipscomb.
God, we only picked him because of Alex and Brandon.
I took him two rounds even.
That was just stupid.
Hey, I got to pick with my heart sometimes. You guys are the experts. I'm picking with my heart. Southeastern Conference, 4-5 in this tournament. That does not look very good. And the ACC, 5-4.
How about the Big Ten with six teams, the Big 12 with four, Pac-10 with only three? Well, and by the way, we have friends in the Pac-10. We have friends that coach. We appreciate them. Yes, it's a great conference, but enough of let's get seven or eight teams in there. Oregon did not belong. I mean, you know, I feel like every year we're getting to this point. Of course, their top three or four teams belong there, and one of them usually advances to the Final Four, if not two of them. But we don't need to go seven deep.
No, you need to give somebody else a shot.
There's no way Oregon should have been in there, and I told Seeley that and Mick that.
Mick didn't like it. He thinks that the entire Pac-10 should be automatically into the Final Four.
I tell you what, Nick's got Indiana to get to the Elite Eight and then possibly a rematch with Stanford.
All right, we've got a caller, 615. He's coming on to defend my pick of him, Brandon Rosenthal.
I thought we had a real caller, like someone calling in for the first time.
No, just the same usual suspects. Rosenthal, what do you have to say for yourself?
Rosenthal, did you see guys crushing Barnett on the on Volley Talk?
He's on Volley Talk all the time.
I did. I was the one that brought that to his attention.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
So, Brandon Rosenthal, you face Ohio State 3-1. You go down. Tough game. Tell us about it.
It was. Came out a little slow start and battled back to 20-20 in the first set, and I think ended up losing 25-23. And second set, we'll just skip over. We got run over, you know. And what's that?
25-22, 25-8, first two sets.
Yes. Ugh. I know. Eight. Ouch. But girls battled back in the third and really played a nice set there and then played well into the fourth and let it get away from us. And, it's a tough one for us, you know, just being what you would call a smaller mid-major school to have that opportunity, but that's part of it, and we gotta get back and do it again.
Tough hitting percentage, Nina. Looking at your numbers in set number two, -191. Don't see that too often. But then In set number four, you lost 25-23. You hit only 73. Not even 173, 73.
Yeah, you know, you guys are good at pouring salt into the wounds here, you know? No, you know, it was our mistakes, and that was the hardest part about it was we just didn't execute down the stretch. And I thought if we could push it to five, I thought we were in a good position. But all in all, I was I was excited to be in that spot. I thought our girls easily could have given up after two, but they fought hard and you know, to some extent, made Ohio State sweat a little bit, and thought we showed a little bit about what we are, who we are.
You guys did have a great season. You've had a couple of really good seasons. I thought for sure that this was the year that you guys were going to advance in the tournament. Talk about the next match. Did you guys hang around and watch the Ohio State-Dayton match, which went 3-2 for Ohio State?
No, we didn't. As a matter of fact, I had kind of vowed to just not watch it whatsoever, and Alex Kelly promptly kept me updated with it. So, you know, Ohio State went up 2-0 on Dayton. Dayton's a really tough place to play. They do a nice job. It's a smaller gym, and their crowd is great. So I was a little surprised by that. And they've got a middle blocker, Lindsay Flettmeyer, that is just a stud. She's all of 6'5", and I think she's going to be somebody that we see at the next level, you know, possibly on the USA team. And so I was a little surprised that they went down 2-0, but they fought back and then had their chances in the fifth and ended up losing 16-14. So all in all, I think that pod, if you call it that, was a good pod. You know, I think all the matches were pretty good. And I still, kind of going back to what you said earlier, would like to see the tournament seeded 1 through 64. I think we eliminate some of these, you know, questions about why is somebody a 5 seed and things like this. You know, if you seed all 64, then you know, it really is just a matter of, okay, who didn't get in that should have got in, instead of, you know, why is this team here? Why is this, you know, all that jazz.
Yeah. All right, Brandon.
So, Geeter, sorry to let you down, but...
you didn't let me down. I'm proud of you and Alex. It's a great thing for your university, and you guys are right there in the hunt, man, and those kids will never forget being in the NCAA tournament, and you guys just continue the good work, man.
True that, and I will kind of pump Alex Kelly. She came to play, and she did her best, and, you know, you can always count on that from her. So,
I hope she gets a chance to play overseas. Just knowing the mascot challenge, I definitely would have taken the Bears over the Buckeyes.
There's no question. The Bears bite
you. You know, a Buckeye is a hairless nut, so, I mean you really can't even – I don't even know what that is.
That's amazing.
Hey, don't be afraid to check in next week and break down the Final Four for us.
Hey, I will. I'm going to be with Barney.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, going to be there. All right, Brandon.
Barney, supposedly Barney said I could guest us since you're not going to be there.
Are you're next Monday you're already there?
No. Okay. Not next Monday. The following.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a special show that week while I'm there.
Gotcha.
It's going to feature all the All-Americans and coaches who are at the tournament.
Thanks for inviting me. State championship football.
So
Brandon, you are in that seat. And
Brandon's
going to
be there. We're going to feature all those people. It's going to be a lot of fun over there at the ABCA convention, and I'm going to be in-house for the Final Four. Got a couple of luxury boxes lined up, so I can go Geeter style first
class. Absolutely, that's how you should be. And Brandon, do a nice job. I just got to read that Dan called Barney the Nick Luna of the bracket challenge, and I think that was the best lines to ever.
Wow.
Love it. Keep up the good work, guys.
All right. See you later.
Later.
Brandon Rosenthal.
You know what? Great job by Brandon. And I'm proud of Alex Kelly. She's a gamer.
No, she grew quite a bit, I think.
Yeah.
And one of the things that will be a challenge for her is to see if she can find a spot overseas where she can continue to play. And I think that's a challenge for a lot of mid-level, you know, high-level, but middle-of-the-pack athletes here in the United States. That they don't really know what the next step is. It's easy for a Destiny Hooker. She'll get contacted by a Korean team or by an Italian team, something like that. A lot of visibility on the national team. But if you're that player who's just off the national team, really you're only talking 25 people on the national team. If you the next 25 or 50 can definitely play overseas, it's a question of how do you make that happen. There's a couple of different avenues I'm working with her to see if we can get her team over there. All right, we've got our first guest in the queue.
We do.
Tell us who we're talking to.
Well, assistant coach at Pepperdine University, also has been running Sport Shack Volleyball Club for the past 20 years. I believe he won a national championship in July with Sport Shack. Not sure. But,
who coached that team for him? Him?
Tim Jensen.
Oh, he
Tim
coached Jensen. That team.
Yeah, he's on right now. Okay. Goose, we call him. Tim Jensen, are you there, bud?
Pepperdine.
I am, Geeter. How are you?
Good. Did you win a title in July? Just wanted to throw that out there.
I didn't do it. I did nothing, actually. It was all Marcio Scully.
Just always have to get in there that we did win, Tim. Nobody can forget.
Barney, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good, Tim. Thanks for coming on again. It's good to hear your voice.
Absolutely. Hey, I want to start by just letting Brandon Rubenfall know what a great job he did this year. I was really, really excited for him. That's a great, great team out there, and he's really improved that squad a lot. We played them a couple years ago, and I'm just really happy for him that he got there.
Yeah, Brandon's a friend of the show, and Alex Kelly, a star player, was an intern for us this summer. And, yeah, as I told him as he got off, keep up the good work, because those ladies will never forget that experience that they've been having there.
Yeah, and he's not going to – I mean, if he starts getting used to this like I did, and then he gets not invited or he doesn't win his conference, then he'll really feel the sting. Then he'll really understand how great it is to be in the tournament.
Tim, that was going to be my first question for you. Now that a week has passed and we're in the Sweet 16 and you see who was in this tournament, who's advanced and who hasn't, are you more upset now than you were back on November 29th?
Actually, no, because everything played out and it showed how ridiculous the seeding was. And I'm not pleading sour grapes here. I mean, we can control our own destiny. We win the conference and we're in. So, I mean, that's how volleyball is. Mick the other night telling everybody, hey, seven teams should get in. Well, I look at it as you win your conference, you're in. And then if you do enough stuff after that to get in, then so be it. But you can't let anyone else be in control. And then after watching what went on this weekend, it just shows that how bad the seedings were, how bad the draw was, and I feel better.
What specific things, if you can just point out a few, I won't say irked you, but stick out to you?
It's by doing that, I don't want to downplay any teams, but, think about the Missouri Valley Conference, three teams in, top five seed, one of them, and not one of them is in the Sweet 16. You got the SEC, Barney already talked about that, and the ACC. Both of conferences had tons of teams in. SEC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and get one in the Sweet 16, and ACC with 5 gets one in. I mean, it was East Coast bias, as everyone's saying, so that'll just change the way the West Coast schools do their scheduling for the rest of the time.
How much of this is just based on the names of the schools when you're talking about big schools out of, for instance, the ACC?
I don't know. If the committee looks at it, big school, this, I think they look at it in dollars and cents, Bonnie. I think they look at how they can make it easier for the travel. I should take that back. I have no idea what the committee looks at. I'm totally confused now. Totally confused.
Yeah, there's an interesting blog by Kathy DeBoer, president of the AVCA, just recently, last couple of days, talking about the seedings and talking about the brackets. And her point at the end was, this tournament every year, the Final Four loses $1 million. And if you could put people in the seats for the finals, you'd probably make that back. Is this a situation where fans just need to come out and support it so that you can get rid of that travel requirement? I guess my understanding is the NCAA says any tournament that loses money has the travel restrictions. So if you can make money, you can get rid of that travel restriction and maybe get rid of some of that bias.
Great point, and you're absolutely right, but is that fair to all the girls and all the coaches out there and everybody who puts in their time and effort throughout the entire year? I mean, these kids give their lives to play volleyball. They're going 40 hours a week, and then you just say, sorry, dollars and cents, even though you deserve to be in, you're not out because it's easier for me to bust, so-and-so here or so-and-so there. You don't have to fly. I mean, look at Hawaii. Hawaii always is a great team, yet 11 years they haven't gotten to host a first round. I mean, for the love of God, how fair is that?
Well, and not only that, you get huge fan support there. You would sell that arena out.
They've led the nation in attendance since the Stan Sheriff Center opened in 1994. That's incredible. They've led the nation. That's 17 straight years.
Here's a silly thing for me. You're talking about $1 million. That sounds like a lot of money. And so you think about how much the NCAA makes for them to throw away $1 million on the most popular sport for women inside of the NCAA is no big deal.
And I think Tim brings up a great point. You know, Dan Patrick was just talking about this, how when they do the bowls and they pick, a lot of times they'll pick teams on how they travel. Is that fair to the other team that might be deserving, but maybe they don't bring 50,000 people? It's not fair. And that's always going to be an argument.
You can't, it's not fair, Vito, 100%. But NCAA is a business. They look at everything as a business. And but, you know, Bobby makes a great point. I mean, go to Hawaii. Send some regionals to Hawaii, some first rounds. You'll make your money easy. And they got millions of dollars over there. For the love of God, take a little away from one football contract. Throw it over volleyball's way to help the women. You know, it's about, there's Title IX. There's all these things that people talk about. Throw some money the women's way and let this tournament, which is unbelievable. You guys talked about fantastic matches, and there's going to be some amazing ones coming up. I mean, let people see it on TV. Let some people who play real hard throughout the year make it to where they're supposed to, so you don't have, you know, Penn State going in to play a great Oklahoma team, but they haven't been tested yet. So it's tough for them. I mean, you ask Russ, that's going to be tough for him just because they haven't had to play too hard yet. And the same with Nebraska. They got to play Washington in Washington. Are you kidding me?
That's
number
tough.
Two seed.
Tim, let's talk about the brackets. We'll start with the Austin regional. You have Florida and Purdue, and you have Texas and Illinois. Any surprises there, and what do you see happening?
Surprises. The only surprise was Florida State was 1-2 points away from knocking off number one Florida and actually had chances. That was the only surprise. I don't think anywhere else there, you know, you see a surprise at all, I think. And I'm picking Texas out of there. My boy Jerry, I think that's at home. His team's, you know, they've been there a lot of times before, and I'm not sold on Florida, not one bit.
Tim, what about Illinois, who gave Texas a nice little beatdown earlier this year in Texas?
Yeah,
I know they had to battle some injuries, but it seems like they're playing a little bit better now.
Yeah, but I think that's definitely a different Illinois team, and Illinois starts two freshmen now, okay? Two great freshmen, Jasmine Orozco and Jennifer Bonilla. I think they played for you, Chris.
Yeah,
and they're, you know, they played in a lot of big games, but they haven't played at Tech in this type of game. I mean, I know they played at Texas before, but wait till they get in and see all that's going on and feel the pressure of a Sweet 16 game. You know, maybe their career, when I've seen them do it before, but I think Texas got some kids who've been there before.
Let's go to the Penn State bracket. Obviously, some surprises for me. It's the one part of my bracket that kind of got scorched. I had Arizona going to the Elite Eight. I did have Missouri beating Northern Iowa, but tell me about some of the surprises, or who do you think will come out of there?
Well, you should have talked to me first year. I would have made you know, your bracket better, because I played both Missouri and Arizona. And Missouri is a great team. Senior laden. They got a great freshman setter who's finally healthy. She had finger palms at the beginning of the year. It doesn't shock me at all to see them where they are. And I see them beating Duke and playing Penn State. And then, you know, Russ, once again, being at home for the 11th straight year, will go, you know, win and go to another Final Four. That's my call.
Another really tough bracket, Tim. You got Cal, Minnesota, Washington, Nebraska. You mentioned Washington playing well and playing at home. That bracket, those are four capable teams.
All so good. That's the toughest one to pick for me. And I'm a little afraid of the guys on Volley Talk. I don't want to get, like, the Barney hate coming at me at all.
Don't be scared of those trolls.
I'm totally afraid. I don't know if I'm more afraid of the Volley Talk guys or Sully when we're out recruiting, maybe just bashing me and tackling me up against the wall. But
Believe me, Sully is listening. He's ready to call.
Oh, I know. He'll call right after me. And hey, Eric, unfortunately, buddy, you're going to lose to Jimmy Mack and the Huskies. And then the Huskies are going to beat Cal, and it's going to be the first, 8-10 Pac-10 team that's going to go to the Final Four, and Mick's going to come back on and scream at all of you guys.
Wow. I like that pick. Now, you got Stanford versus Ohio State and Indiana versus USC. A great game there with San Diego and USC. I know you were following that one.
Yeah, big time, because that's the one WCC school that got in, and I think, you know, there should have been three. I think we should have gotten in. I think St. Mary's was right there on the cusp. They don't lose to Pacific that last game of the year. I think, you know, they had a great case, too. And San Diego put up a great battle with SC. SC's playing great, absolutely great. But once again, you got some freshmen in some key positions when it gets this big. But I still see them barely sliding by Indiana. God, do I love Indiana being there. But once again, the home team. They were home for that regional, guys. It's
Tim,
a money issue.
Tim, is Indiana just that much improved? They've had some big wins this year.
You know what it is? If you look on their roster, they got some big-time kids recruiting-wise. You know, a couple, you know, kids who transferred in. You know, they've done a really good job there. So with being at home, beating Penn State this year the way they did, they felt great there. They weren't afraid of anybody. So it doesn't, you know, surprise me that they came out of there. And plus, you know, you got the seed of Tennessee in there, and I think the whole entire SEC was overrated as the – you know, the tournament has shown, so it didn't shock me that Indiana beat him. I mean, Rock does a great job with Tennessee, you know, year in and year out, but he's at Indiana, five-gamer. It's pretty tough to win at someone else's place. But I still see USC beating Indiana, and Stanford's going to beat Ohio State, and that one, wow.
Yeah, who wins that? Stanford beat him for a third time?
You know how hard it is to beat anybody three times, Gear. I mean, and Barney can attest to this, too. I'm sure when you're playing in your pro and international, Barney, beating someone three times in a tournament or over a year, how easy is that to do?
You know, time after time, you see this in professional sports, that third time,
yeah,
the other team gets the win. Lots of times it's 2-0 for one guy, and you expect them to be stronger. I just saw it yesterday in flag football. Team had been murdered twice by another team, came back in the Super Bowl and won.
Tim,
and
by the way, Barney did six play-by-play for flag football championship, six games in a row. For his kids' flag football league. Does any man know how to do that?
That's fantastic. Was it for your son's team, Barney?
Yeah, for my son's team and then the entire rest of the league.
What a great father you are. What an absolute great father. Listen, when my boy Axel, he gets to that point, you know, he was in the Final Four for soccer. I should have had you come up and announce and do that. That would have been fantastic.
There you go.
Because God knows Tim and I couldn't say we have no idea about soccer, so we wouldn't be able to do that.
I know nothing, but I love going and bringing the oranges and handing them out and sitting there and clapping and just screaming go at the top of my lungs.
I'd be just doing like the Simpsons version of he passes there, he passes back, he passes there, passes back.
Tim, can you pick a national champion? Are you willing to do that?
Oh, Jesus, pick a national champion. Well, I haven't even picked Stanford SoCal yet. You know what, I'm going to go with Mrs. Kleinman taking her team to the next level. And just getting by SC. You got a couple more seniors on that Stanford squad. I think maybe they might slip by. That one's a tough one for me. But national champion, it's going to be – I'm going to go out on a limb here, guys. Way out on a limb here. I'm going to take University of Washington, Jimmy Mack.
Wow.
You really believe in those Huskies, don't you?
That guy loves Goose on Volley Talk if he's listening.
Wow.
You know, I do. I think they're playing great right now. They played Hawaii. I mean – I think they're ready to go.
What's your street name for Volley Talk? I think it's actually Tim.
It might be Hushy Dog Pack.
Yeah.
What's my street name? I don't post on that. No way. I wouldn't know what to do with myself if I got on there.
Tim, I've got a serious question here for you. You've talked about some of the teams that have gotten better throughout the year. You talked about some of the surprises that have gone on. How about the struggle for teams like Pepperdine, like Lipscomb, to schedule outside of your conference to increase your visibility and your RPI? Talk about that equation, how you and Nina Matthews go through that each year in trying to schedule your non-conference opponents.
You know, it's not that – well, a lot of it, once again, comes down to the almighty dollar. You know, sometimes your AD tells you, hey, you can't go, you know, this far. You can't fly here. I know a lot of conferences have rules that they can't do that whatsoever. They can't, you know, go anywhere that a bus can't take them. But for us at Pepperdine, you know, we have a great administration who lets us kind of go where we please. And Nina's not afraid to play anybody. She goes tough schedule no matter what. I mean, we're always playing someone tough. And next year we already have, you know, Hawaii twice on the schedule. We have UCLA on the schedule. And then we went back, as a matter of fact, and changed our whole philosophy after the bracket came out. And we saw East Coast dominant, you know, the heavy RPIs with the ACC and the SEC and the Missouri Valley Conference. And we said, okay, let's go play those guys in the preseason. Let's go over. Let's not play anybody on the West Coast. Why? They don't give us respect for it. It doesn't matter. All we do is knock each other around, and the committee just knocks all of us down. And, you know, I spoke to Jim Moore from Oregon, and he feels the same way. I mean, we're all going to go back to the Midwest and the East and play those guys and see where that lands us. At least we, Pepperdine, when I say we are, and hope that helps the committee see, you know, what type of team we are, and, you know, then we'll, you know, take our chances with our seeding after that. But people are going to change. The West Coast is going to change how they schedule. They have to now after seeing what just happened this year.
Hey, Goose, we're going to bring E. Sullivan on, but first I do have a question from one of our followers on the chat board. It says, ask Goose how much he hates Chris Johnson. I know you have Chris Johnson in your fantasy league, and you're not making playoffs because of him.
With a passion, the biggest bust in the history of fantasy football. And this is my first year, and I already hate fantasy football. Love and hate it at the same time.
Love and hate it. So, well, let's get Sullivan in here. Maybe he's going to love and hate you at the same time. Cause you had,
oh, God, he's going to hate me for sure.
Washington. Sully, you in the house now?
I'm here, man. I'm here. I'm listening.
Would you like to talk to Goose?
You know, Goose, I got nothing but love for you, man.
You're right.
I get it. He's worried about getting pinned up against a wall by Sullivan, and now he's got nothing but love for him?
I get it, man. No one gives the Huskers any love, including the committee, so I get it. We're fine.
Including the committee?
We're the two seed, and we get Washington, Cal, and Minnesota.
Wow, you know
when
what?
Stanford's the four. Let me look and see. Stanford's the four seed.
Stanford's
and they get
three.
SC. Or no, so, I'm sorry, you're right. Stanford is the three seed. They get SC, who they've beaten twice already.
Yeah.
And then they get Penn State's the four seed, and I think they've got Juniata.
Yeah. Who wins, Juniata or your Sacred Heart?
I'll tell you what. Sacred Heart was pretty good. They had a bunch of little kids that would get up and blast. It was actually a fun match.
That's good. And that goes with what I was saying earlier. You know, if you can control your own destiny, you win your conference. So a team like Sacred Heart, you know, a team like Niagara, they deserve to be in the tournament just as much as Nebraska, Penn State, or anybody else. They won their conference. They get there. They're good. They play hard. They have good kids. There's no reason why they shouldn't be there, just like anybody else.
Hey, Sully, you know, after last week's show, I go to dinner with Tim and Dan Connors from UCLA, and Mike Seeley has a seat next to him, and he kind of passed the seat and has me sit down. And he goes, so I hear from Sully today that you picked against the Bruins. And I said, Seals, you know my hatred for the Bruins. You took what I wanted in 1993. I like the program because, you know, I liked Andy and Kim and you and Dan and a couple of our players are going there, but it's still tough for me, Sully, and I want you guys to understand that. It is tough for me to ever pick the Bruins.
I get you. I hear it. Hey, so I got a couple things. I know you guys are talking about the NCAA being a business, and they harp on women's volleyball. They did a great article. I think it was an SI or something about women's basketball and the drain financially that thing is. I mean, they've got to stop with that argument when they're paying millions and millions and millions of dollars trying to push women's basketball, and programs are $3 or $4 million in the hole. I mean, it's amazing to me that administrators are looking to cut $4,000 out of a volleyball budget when women's basketball is losing 2.5. I mean, it's an unbelievable disparity when they talk about Title IX and gender equity. I just had to throw that in there.
And I'll ask you first, and then Tim, you can answer after. I mean, isn't women's volleyball more popular indoors now than ever and played at the highest level? It seems like ESPN's getting behind it more with more games on. So why are we still pushing women's basketball over volleyball?
Is that for me or Tim?
Well, I
just think that they've got a comparable sport, and so they hold that over the administrators' heads. And the administrators are afraid to confront that and say, look, you know, this model is broken, and there's no need for us to be spending, you know, $2.5 million on a women's basketball team because we spend $3.5 on men. You know, they don't draw attendance at most programs. You know, I just don't get it.
You know, from my perspective, the first point Slim makes is it's the comparison of the men's and the women's. I mean, the women's coaches go in and say, hey, look at what you're doing for men's hoops. We should get the same. And we can't say that about volleyball because we're bigger than men's volleyball. But, you know, they also have a pro league, which I'm sure helps a little. But who's really –
Which also loses money.
There you go. And, I don't know if you – if you did a survey, I think you'd find more people would rather watch women's volleyball right now than they would women's hoops. I just think it's a better game. It's more exciting. It's, you know, kids are incredible athletes. You've got a lot of athletes who used to play hoops who are now playing volleyball. I would think that, you know, the NCAA would say, hey, look, we got this. Let's highlight this in the fall. Everyone's watching football no matter what. So for women, let's go after this and make this the best it can be. Because when the NCAA tournament comes around, no one's watching the women's tournament. Everyone's watching the men's, guys. You ever been to Vegas first or second round?
Never.
Yeah, me neither. I don't even know where that town is.
I love that trip every year.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here. We appreciate you calling in all the time. Tim, We love talking to you. We talk to Sullivan every week, but this is a special treat to have you on.
Yeah, Sully, you guys, you guys going at it was perfect. Do you have one more parting shot for each other?
Hey, I appreciate it. Like I said, I don't think too many people are giving us any shot. And, you know, we're watching Washington right now, and they're a real nice team. It's going to be a tough match, but they definitely have some flaws. And so we're looking forward to going back there.
Goose, hey, is Geeter, Washington Barney, 3-4-5?
Geeter, Barney, let me tell you this. There will be no team better prepared in this tournament than Nebraska because of what everybody's saying. So probably I'm going to get a phone call from Jimmy Mack when I hang up going, Goose, why did you do that? For the love of God. Now you got those guys all riled up. But
I said some fact-checking now. It was really strong takes against Nebraska until we had Sullivan on here. Then it was all backpedaling.
Yeah. It's a battle.
Really? How about Washington and four?
Stick to your guns, Tim. Stick to your guns.
Keno's way bigger than Sully, guys. Keno would crush me.
Great job.
That is true.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Take care.
Fuck, Sully. We'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, Tim Jensen, Eric Sullivan of Pepperdine Waves and the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Love it.
Great stuff right there, Barney.
That was fun.
Is Reed still there?
Yeah, I think Reed's there. I've seen him screening some calls.
I wonder if Reed was just enjoying himself there in the living room, having a good time listening to those two banter.
He'd love to be enjoying it in the living room on a couch. We got to get him some blow-up
furniture.
Instead, he's
on hardwood floors and it's snowing outside.
They don't have hardwood over there. It's all tile. They're quarrying stone. They got rid of all the wood long ago in Europe. Well, hey, it's been a fun first segment. We'll be right back. We still have Julianne Fawcett of Texas coming up. We've got the mascot challenge on the brackets. We have Albie Hanneman coming on in the College Volleyball Weekly. It's all ahead here on the Net Live. I'm Kevin. He's Geeter. Reed is still there. He's taking care of the technical side for us while sitting on the floor in Russia. We'll be right back.
Is this when I start talking?
Exactly. Parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dad?
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
August here on the show.
We're about to break news with Albie Hanneman today. What are you talking about?
It's going to happen again. Welcome back here to the Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you being here. I'm your host, Kevin Barnett, along with Chris Geeter-McGee here in the home court. and Reed Pretty in Russia. Reed, what do you think about stuff you've heard so far?
You know, I can't let Tim Jensen get away with a comment like, we need men's basketball, men's football to throw some money our way, considering that, you know, men's have a Final Four and they have a 64-team tournament. So I can't let him off the hook on that. But I want to circle back with the Kathy DeBoer article, because she doesn't talk about selling tickets for the Final Four. She actually talks about selling an average of 2,500 per night of all first and second round sites, and that would help buffer the $1 million deficit. But she brings up really good points, and I wanted to get your guys' take on it. She says the bracket produces a volatile standoff each year at NC2A championship time between the D1 volleyball committee and the D1 coaches. Each group feels dishonored by the other. I mean, at the end of the day, it is a business, and it needs to run like a business, and it needs to make money, and they're going to draw crowds closer to home. So, I mean, where's the solution here?
Well, I think one of the things you have to do, we talked about Hawaii, for instance. You have to select teams to go to Hawaii. There's where you're going to sell tickets. You'll sell 10,000 tickets each time Hawaii plays.
What about all the money made BCS? Just billions of dollars. Can't we just throw a little bone and support some sports like Cal's baseball team that has to?
Geeter, we're better than that. We don't want handouts. We don't want subsidies. We're better than that.
I know we're better than that, but it's not about handouts. It's about everyone supporting each other and supporting athletics. Obviously, water polo on the women's side or the men's side is not going to draw like men's basketball at Duke.
Hey, if this is about $1 million, can this be the Gatorade NCAA Women's Volleyball Championship? I mean, that's the only reason the bowl money is there, is because of all the advertisers, the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Great point.
I mean, that's where all the money is coming from, so why don't we have a name on this? I print up the bracket. How come there's no advertising on this bracket? You want $1 million? With the amount of athletes participating, the amount of people spectating, the amount of folks involved in this sport, there's no way you couldn't put together $1 million in advertising for this property. It was just so good, we got dead
air. Yeah, I was like, where's Nacho?
That was a walk-off.
I'm out of here. Like Costanza, I'm just going to drop the microphone.
Waiting for Reed and get a hold of that one.
All right, so bottom line is, I think the argument about needing them to throw you a bone, I don't like that argument versus creating your own property. You need some more creative stuff to say, hey, we have this property, not please give us something. Bring something to the table, and I think that's where the advertising could be valuable, or there's got to be another couple of approaches people could come up with, but bring something to the table instead of asking for a handout. I think that could be a critical.
Or a more in-depth look at just like Sully, what Sully was saying, a more in-depth look at the sports and what they're creating, i.e. women's basketball versus women's volleyball.
That's going to be a tough argument to win. Women's basketball, they just continue to thrive off the men's game, and that's at the collegiate level and professionally. The WNBA has seen continued decline in television ratings, in attendance in most markets, the stuff that I've read over the last few years, and the NBA is just committed to having a WNBA, period. And it's no judgment against the athletes. I don't need any hate mail. I'll probably get some haters on Volley Talk, but yeah.
I love when you get hate tweets to my account.
Yeah, I mean, basketball, it's just basketball. You have a men's juggernaut and you have the PC thing to support the women. So without the comparable sport, women's volleyball is going to have to find a different way to exist and bring themselves to the table. So we're on to our next guest here on the show, Mr. McGee.
Well, I'll tell you about this next guest. I've seen her play since she was just a youngster playing for Epic Volleyball Club, and Ojan with his nice designer jeans was coaching her, and she was just siding out at will against my teams. And then, of course, followed her to Texas where she played for my good friend Jared Elliott, and she's been to two Final Fours already. She's in her senior year, having an All-American season, one of the great players out there, Julianne Fawcett. What's up, Julianne?
Hey, what's up?
Thank you for joining us this morning. Have you just been on hold waiting patiently and so excited? It's the best part of your day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't wait.
Hey, are you listening to this show ever? I need to know right now.
I've never listened, actually.
I like that's an honest answer
that's
right
an
there.
An honest answer. She did not lie. She did all
hey, I've been listening.
God, what do I say to Peter right
I've
now?
I've never heard of this. I have no idea why I'm here.
Julianne, you guys are coming off a huge win at home against UCLA in four sets, a close battle. As a senior, talk about that match and what it meant for you to be able to beat the Bruins and move on in your senior year.
Well, first off, they're a great team. So it's so fun just to play against a really good, high-caliber team, especially on our home court. Our fans were awesome. I swear it was the loudest I've ever heard Gregory Gym in my 4 years, and it wasn't even sold out. But it's just, you know, the environment was so fun. It was a tight game, especially in that fourth set, you know. It would have been a little bit different, I think, if we went to five games. It would have been a little bit harder because they were getting pretty hot at the end of that game. But, you know, it's really good. I think playing a team like UCLA in the second round is hard, and it means a lot to be able to move on to that third round.
Julianne Fawcett, All-American from Texas, grew up in San Diego, California. Julianne, talk about that home court advantage you guys have. I've been to that arena, Gregory Gym, one of the best places to play in all of America, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said before, you know, our fans, they love the game of volleyball, and we have a great student section, and luckily we had some of them still here because of finals, and hopefully, you know, on Friday we can get all the students to come out because they're so great. And as small as the arena is, it just makes it, you know, really an intimate setting. And, you know, they're right there on the court with us. And it's kind of like, you know, they're on our backs helping us out and pushing us through the games. And so it's a great environment. I've loved it all my 4 years. And, you know, being able to host the regional and making it is something that, you know, is great for us, especially in my senior year. I would not like to have it any other way.
Julianne, you guys were part of maybe the greatest women's volleyball match of all time last year, the NCAA Finals to Penn State, 15-13 in the fifth. Coming into this year, you guys had some injuries early. Did you think your team would be able to get to this point, and how did you, as a leader, make that happen?
You know, coming off a year like we had last year, I knew it was going to be hard a little bit, just losing players like Destiny Hooker and Ashley Engel and Heather Kistner. You know, they're great, great assets to our team, and they really helped build the program up to that point. But, you know, I had experienced a lot in my 3 years, and I thought that going into this year, I had to just take that experience and put it to my team and carry them on my back. And I never doubted that we would ever get to this point. I knew it would be really hard, and it's still going to be really hard to reach our ultimate goal, but it's just the faith that our team has. It's such a tight-knit group because of those injuries, because of the adversity that we've dealt with. You know, it's funny because you never want to see your senior year with so many ups and downs, but at the end of the day, it makes it so much sweeter when we get each victory. So, you know, it is what it is, and it's been an exciting year, and I'm excited to see what happens in the next week.
Julianne, this is Kevin. We appreciate you being here. And talk about that upcoming match against Illinois. Illinois 24-8 coming in. You will face off with them on Friday night. What are you guys seeing so far in breaking down the tape and scouting?
Well, we'll start this today at practice, just going over the scouting report. We saw them at the beginning of the year, playing them preseason. They're a really good team. Unfortunately, they lost one of their best players, the Bueller, on the outside, which is unfortunate, but, you know, they're still a really good team, and so we're going to have to really defend against them. They have a quick offense, and I'm glad we've gotten better since the beginning of the season, that's for sure. We lost them 3-0 on our home court, but that just makes it so much more fun to think about how much of a challenge it's going to be to play them and have a different, you know, two different teams out there on the court, and just really preparing for what they're going to bring to us, and we're going to have to defend and block really well.
You know, your coaching staff, the head coach Jerry Elliott, of course, and your assistants, you have Brian and Salima and Nathan. You guys have really created a fun, great atmosphere at Texas. Talk about that coaching staff that you have there and what they've meant to your career.
Well, first with Jarrett, him and I have become closer and closer over the years. Just as in any program, as you get older, you understand what the coaches want from you and so on. But, you know, he's just really created a fun, competitive atmosphere here at Texas. And especially this year, because of all the adversity that we've had, he's taken it, you know, really lightly. And the assistants, Salima and Brian, have been there, and And it's just really fun to be able to look at them and see that they still have all this faith in our team no matter what our circumstances are. And, you know, we have fun at practice. We compete hard. We play hard. They created such a great culture at Texas. So fun to play for Jarrett and his passion. You know, yesterday I was looking at some of the photos from the match from UCLA, and they had some of our coaches just so excited with fire jumping off the bench. And, you know, when you look at that, you're just, like, filled with bliss because you see how invested your coaches really are.
Talking about fire and being pumped up, I understand that Chris, you guys a pump-up speech. Is that about right?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that question. What was it?
We understand that Geeter calls in and gives you guys a pump-up speech before matches. Is that right? He has some words of wisdom for you guys?
Oh, absolutely. Every NCAA tournament that I've been in, he's been able to talk to us before the games, and that was one of my things I was looking forward to this coming postseason, and he's always got a new theme for us, and it's just really, really exciting, really a fun time to sit there and listen. He's a great speaker, knows
what's
how to pump things up.
What do you remember?
Don't tell him all my secrets.
What do you remember? What has he thrown out at you guys that stuck with you?
Well, it's a little bit of a secret most of the time, but, you know, each theme has been pretty cool. Last year we had, like, an Ollie theme, and I won't tell you what this year's theme is. It's pretty cool, though, and we're really excited about it, and we just keep adding to it, and, you know, our team just feeds off of it. He's awesome. He puts out such great enthusiasm to us and confidence, and it's just really fun to listen to him.
I must say, when she was a sophomore and they made that run to the Final Four, the theme was "It's all about the dog pile." And that's the dog pile at the end of the year to win it. And they made shirts and said "All About the Dog Pile" and sent it to me. In the last 2 years, they've sent me a Big 12 championship ring. So it's meant a lot to me. This program has really been great. And I love the kids, you know, with Julianne and Ashley. You know, of course, I knew a lot of those kids when they were growing up. But it really is an incredible program. And I visited back there, and I always tell people they have something special going on at Texas.
Did you coach any of them to a national championship?
I did not. I got beaten down by them, but I did not coach any of them to the national championship.
Well, Julianne, this is Kevin Barnett. I would hope you please say hello to Lima for me. Selima Davidson played on the same time I did. I would love to give a little shout-out to her. I've enjoyed watching her and you guys in the previous years. And really, last year, it was a great match. And even though you guys lost, I thought it was something that was incredible for your sport. And you and Penn State definitely represented women's volleyball in the best light. It was one of the most tremendous things I've seen in the sport on television in the United States.
Well, I really appreciate that. It was really cool to be a part of something like that.
Well, Julianne Fawcett, we wish you the best of luck against the Fighting Illini this Friday at home.
Hopefully we have a new fan of the show, because she's got a lot of fans.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
She tweeted us today.
Thanks for joining us here today. Good luck the rest of the week.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
From Texas.
Well-spoken.
Fun to get these college kids on.
Stud. A hammer, a great leader. Can't say enough.
6'2" and can crush on the outside.
Yeah. I'm telling you, man, when she was a club volleyball in high school, she was the beast.
I like that.
We couldn't stop her.
You got Lima on the bench. I wonder what Lima does.
She's great. She was great on some of my Skype speeches last year. I had her stand up in front of the squad and say,
"Oh, you want her to stand up and yell?"
She's fantastic.
She is on board.
Yeah, she is on board. She and I saw each other in Vegas last year. We never met face to face, only through
Skype.
Oh yeah, we had a nice embrace, and you know, Brian is a good friend, the assistant coach, and Jared. It's really a fun program to be around.
Cool. Very cool.
I'm curious, Geeter, what don't you do?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, you know,
you're everywhere.
Jared came to me a few years ago. You know, Jared and I grew up together. He's one of my best friends, and we played and coached together at Northridge, and he got me into coaching, and he was on the staff in '93. We went to the finals. You know, he came to me and said, "I have an idea. I'd love to Skype you into the team room. Can you give a speech?" Because I used to give speeches in college and all that stuff. You know, just to fire up the team. So we just kept doing it.
Are you giving pump-up speeches for the Seattle Seahawks this year?
No, Pete has not had me on Skype yet, and I'm upset about that. You never know. And when I did a few games at Texas, he had me come to the team room and talk to the team beforehand. And so it's been real special. Jared's been done a good job of keeping me involved and making me feel a part of it.
Awesome.
Well, you know what? You got to give us a pump-up speech at the end of the show.
Oh.
Okay?
Interesting. Interesting.
Just send us air with a pump-up.
Yeah, I can
take some notes right now, and I've decided that you're the Ryan Seacrest of volleyball. You are everywhere.
50 mil a year.
You're above 5'2", though, so that's a good thing for you.
And I don't frost my tips. Here's the thing, Reed. Because I am emceeing the luncheon today, I have to leave right before the show. But how about next
week?
All right, time to plan.
I give us a fire-up speech. Heading into the holidays.
That sounds good. Holiday-themed.
Holiday-themed fire-up speech for Reed Pretty.
All right. Hey, let's pick the rest of this bracket. I want to repick now. I want to start with us again from the Sweet 16 all the way through to the finals. Based on what we know from the first couple of rounds, I want to repick.
Of course you do, because you had Michigan going to the Final Four.
I might pick Michigan again. All right, so let's start at the top. Florida versus Purdue. Who do you have? Geeter.
Florida versus Purdue. I'm sticking with Go Gators because even though they have struggled and have not been playing their best and maybe and probably should have lost to Florida State and Purdue, a fantastic season, Florida takes them down in four.
All right, I'm also going with Florida. I think Florida's going to continue playing back to the level that they've had previously. Texas, Illinois. I'm going Texas.
Yeah.
We had Fawcett on the program. Illinois is a bit banged up. I think Texas is a team that has gotten better throughout the season after their early struggles with some injuries. I'm going Texas.
At the beginning of the year, I picked Kevin Hambley in Illinois to go to the Final Four.
And they 3-0'd Texas early in the
year. Yes.
Game.
I am now switching that. I am going with Texas because I think they're – not because I'm close to the program, because I do have two former players on Illinois as well, so it's hard for me to pick against them. But I'm going with Texas because they're the hottest team in the country, one of at least. They've won 17 or 18 in a row and 20 of 21. So I'm going with Texas at home.
Okay. Texas for both. So set up a Texas and Florida matchup. Who do you have coming out of that region?
I have Texas.
Texas?
Texas avenging that loss to Florida. Earlier this year they lost, I believe, in five or maybe it was a close four, but I think at home Texas wins that one.
I'm going to stick with Florida.
Yep.
I'm going with Florida. I've got them in the Final Four, I believe, and then we're playing the Gator music for like 10 weeks. We're going to stick with Florida. All right, Missouri and Duke.
I'm going with Missouri.
Yeah, I've got Mizzou as well. I don't know too much about either of these two teams, but I've got Mizzou going.
I'm going with Missouri because they've done a great job. They're playing well right now. Tim talked about their setting and how much better they've gotten. Plus, their schedule all year. You're playing against Texas twice, Nebraska twice, Oklahoma twice. I think they've played the competition, and I think they take down Duke.
I'll tell you what, it's close. I mean, Duke went 3-2 with Ohio in the second round. Mizzou went 3-2 with NI in the first round. So pretty close competition. I think it's going to be a great match to watch. All right, Oklahoma-Penn State in the other part of that bracket.
It is good, and as well as Oklahoma is playing, I have to go with Russ Rose and Penn State. Three championships in a row. They're getting back to the Final Four.
I think they got the easiest bracket. You heard Sullivan talk about it, the fact that Penn State has a walk there. And I have a hard time picking against them. I'm going to go with Penn State as well. Try and make a smart pick here instead of a pick.
And whether they've had an easy road or not, they're still playing very well.
Hey, they get the road they get. They don't have any control over it. They just have to come in and play the games. So Penn State and Mizzou for the Final Four there.
Oh, I'm going Penn State.
Penn State all the way?
Penn State all the way.
All right, I'll also put Penn State in that final. I had Arizona in that bracket, so that bracket's completely shot. All right, Stanford, Ohio State on the other side.
I'm going to go with Stanford.
Yeah, I think Stanford's a juggernaut.
I kind of feel it's a no-brainer there. But by the way, a great season for Ohio State to get to the Sweet 16, take down Dayton in Dayton. It's a great win.
Indiana, SC.
I'm going to go with SC. I think SC is going to be a tough out for anybody. Great on the pins, playing at a high level, great setter, and I love their libero. To me, SC, no doubt, winning that one.
There's the Pac-10 showdown, Stanford-SC for that Final Four spot. You're going to struggle with this one, aren't you?
I am. I'm going to go with Stanford. I think they're going to win in a close one, and I know it's tough to beat a team three times.
I've got Stanford based on experience. And when you talk about SC, you've got those young players in there. Yep. Stanford, you have Kleiman. Yeah. She needs to power her team to a win. I think you get Cassidy Lickman, another great athlete in that program. I think Stanford's going to come out on top. You have Stanford? USC?
I have Stanford.
Okay, Stanford from both. All right, Cal, Minnesota.
Cal.
I think I like both those teams, but I really think Cal's going to come out on top. Huskies and Nebraska. Here it is, the contentious pick.
Nebraska.
Really?
Yeah.
You're going against your boy Timmy J.
Yep, I'm going against Jimmy Mack.
Big time Timmy Jim.
Yeah, I'm going with Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Too physical. They're going to win on the road.
Wow. In Washington, Nebraska takes it. I'm going to go with Nebraska. I'm going to pick against the Washington Huskies because I got cut by Jim way back in the day. So I'm just going to pick against him right now based on that alone. Cut me off the B team back in 94, 95. So go with Nebraska. No, I'm just kidding. I think I'm definitely going to pick Nebraska, although I think Washington is a team that's playing well. So it's Cal and Nebraska coming up for that Final Four spot. Cal, Nebraska. You going to put another Pac-10 team in the final?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm going with...
You're going with Cal?
No. Excuse me. I'm going with Nebraska. I'm sorry.
The Cornhuskers. All right. I'll put the Cornhuskers in, too. So now we have Florida, Penn State, Stanford, Nebraska. Florida, Penn State.
Who are you going with?
You have Texas.
I'm going with Texas.
Okay. You have Texas. I've got Florida, Penn State. I'm going with Florida. I think Florida makes it in. I think it's the end of Penn State's run right there. They run into a team that's just a little bit better right now. On the other side, Stanford, Nebraska. I got to go with Stanford. I think eventual champion, Florida.
I'm going to go with Stanford over Nebraska.
Okay.
And then I'm going Texas over Stanford in five.
Texas over Stanford in five. Wow.
Last year I picked them to win 15-13 against Penn State, and I was off by two.
Hey, they should have won last year. They blew it last year. They played well. They needed one more player who could put the ball away with greater consistency during that match. That's what they needed, because they should have won that match. If they had one more player that could really step to the plate offensively, I think they would have taken it down. All right, so that's the repick there. We'll see how that goes. See how the eventual brackets come out. We did have an NCAA bracket challenge, a lot of participation. We're giving away some Mikasa stuff. Mikasa and Jordan have been a big supporter of this program since the very beginning. So we have a good Mikasa package we're going to put together for the winner of our bracket challenge. It won't be Geeter because we're not even awarding him points for his picks.
I can't win.
No. But you can't win. You're a member of the show. And, you know, we can't have Millie winning either. But it's not a bunch of Curious George DVDs, so she doesn't care.
This from a guy who picked Michigan to go to the Final Four. I love Mark Rosen. I love him.
I had him in the Elite Eight. I did not have him in the Final Four.
All right.
Yeah. Mark Rosen sold me a bill of goods. I was on board. Hey, I wanted to bring this back around, and we're going to choose another bracket here, but I want to do this bracket just based on mascots. Mascots alone. Doesn't matter what the school's done. I don't care about the volleyball. I want to know the mascot challenge. Who's going to win the Final Four based on the performance of their mascot? So we have the Gators versus the Boilermakers. Reed, you can even get on this because you know it takes no knowledge to do this one.
Thank you.
So, Gators, Boilermakers. Reed, who do you have? A Gator versus a Boilermaker?
Go Gators.
You're going to Gator? You don't even know what a Boilermaker is?
No, I didn't want to ask that question after you just said I had no knowledge.
What's a Boilermaker? Isn't it a guy who makes boilers?
Yeah.
I know it's in Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, dude.
Two Boilermakers.
Yeah, and a
drink.
And the Gator's going to eat them, dude.
The Gator's going to eat the Boilermaker.
Yeah.
What if the Boilermaker's able to make a boiler and stick the Gator in it?
Rudy T. says Purdue Pete has a hammer to clearly defeat the Gator.
He does have a big hammer. That hammer's large, too. We're not talking like a framing hammer. We're talking like giant sledge.
75 people in the chat room, by the way. I hate to jump in and say that.
75 people for this inane discussion.
Yeah. Al B jumped in. That's always nice to have him. We'll have him out at 10 o'clock.
All right.
Wait. Boilermakers is a train? Is it a train?
It's a train. It's a guy with a hammer. It's all kinds of different stuff.
Oh, dude, it runs over the Gator. No question.
Purdue Pete, dude.
Purdue Pete versus the Gator. Who do you have?
Some pre-production on this segment would have been really good.
Whatever. Make your pick. You took the Gators. Geeter, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Gators.
I think a Gator eats them. No doubt. Gators are tough. All right, so this one's a little easier. Longhorns versus the Fighting Illini. And the question becomes, is this a single Fighting Illini? It seems plural. Several Fighting Illini, several Indians versus
the Longhorns.
A Longhorn Bull. But several bulls.
That one could get interesting. There's going to be casualties on both sides.
There will be. Who's
the Illini are going to do some stabbings, and the horns are going to do some plucking.
We got some arrows going in.
Yeah.
It's going to look like a bullfight for a little while.
Yeah. It's going to look like Pamplona.
What do you think? Illini? Longhorns?
I think there's too many Fighting Illini out there, and they end up winning.
So on sheer numbers alone, yeah. The Illini yeah. take it. Illini sustain some casualties, but they take it. All
right. Blue Devil or a Tiger?
Now, see, this is an interesting one, because what really can a Blue Devil do? Okay, he's blue, but he looks so friendly. He's kind of cartoonish. So what can he do against what is really a realistic-looking tiger?
I'm going with a tiger. Blue Devil.
What does a Blue Devil do?
What
does he have blue fire?
He dances around on your shoulder.
Is he like a leprechaun?
Yeah, come on. I've danced with the devil many times, guys. Okay? I always come out on top.
Tiger eats the Blue Devil. All right. Nittany Lions versus the Sooners. I got to take the Lions on this, because if you have a pack of Lions jumping in on the covered wagons and eating the women and children, and the men are running around outside, the wagons get overrun. This is just a pack of Lions.
Guy's insane.
I don't know. This sounded better in pre-production, didn't it? Reed, you're kind of dead air over there.
Do we have to go through the...
Answering phones, bro.
Very good.
Please, someone call in and save the show. Buckeye versus the tree.
Buckeye versus the tree.
Can't pick the tree.
No, the tree's about the stupidest mascot.
Doesn't
isn't
the tree always get his ass
it
kicked
is the
at
Stanford,
football games too?
But what's worse, the tree or is it the Stanford Cardinal? Singular, one cardinal, small bird standing on my desk.
Yeah,
getting whipped by a Buckeye.
Getting crushed.
Okay, Buckeyes, definitely Buckeyes.
Hoosier. Tommy Trojan.
You got the Trojan, you got the sword.
Trojan horse and the sword and the whole deal.
Putting the sword into the field. Yeah, I can see him spinning the sword up in the air and driving it through the Hoosier.
Bears and the Gophers, no-brainer.
Really?
What a Gopher, Danny. Huskies and the Huskers?
Bears, Huskies, and the Corn Huskers. I mean, what can a Corn Husker do? He husks corn. He maybe detassel, too. That might be the other thing he can do. The Huskies.
Yeah.
They're kind of friendly dogs, usually, unfortunately. All right, so now you have Huskies, Bears. We'll go reverse order. Bears eating dogs.
I'm going to go with the Bears.
Bears.
It's the Bears.
Bears are going to be tough to defeat here.
Yeah.
Buckeyes, Trojans.
Trojans.
Sword, Trojans. Lions and Tigers and Bears, oh my. Lions and Tigers. Nittany Lion, big, mean-looking. Tiger, also big, mean-looking.
To wash, they both die, and no one gets out of that bracket.
No, tigers eat them for sure. Gators and the Illini. Now the Illini, having already gone through the Longhorns, sustained some casualties. How many really
they
are
still
left?
Have
to deal
four
with these
guys. They still have four guys left, and they beat the three Gators. At
and home. These four guys are like, WTF? We just went through all these Longhorns, and now you got a pack of Gators for us. I think it's the Gators. Reed's now texting, Skyping. He's saying, "Hey, there's other people on the line. Let's get rid of this already." Quickly, Gators, Tigers, Trojans, Bears, Gators and Tigers. Tigers finish off the Gators. Trojans, Bears. Bears get by there. Bears and Tigers.
I've checked out. Bears.
Yeah, never
mind. Sorry. I'm reading the chat room.
Idea. It was a really stupid idea.
I thought it was good for the first
round. The chat room think it's a really stupid idea.
Yeah, they've already moved on.
Yeah.
Although Matt Gardhoff says the Trojans slaughter Hoosiers, trees, and Buckeyes.
Yeah, but every
he also
time
went there.
Yeah, Gardhoff's in a USC.
And the volleyball nut wants Albie on the show now. I told them they need to relax.
Hey, Albie's 10:05. We have the College Volleyball Weekly coming up in just a moment. But first, we're going to take a break and really just try and bring the show back around. We need to recover here.
We need to recover.
Ugh.
It's been strong. We had 3 minutes of a letdown.
Yeah.
You know what, though? You try to get on the radio for 2 hours and babble.
Whatever.
It's time for a timeout and a pump-up speech, Geeter.
Yeah, let's go. Get yourselves together.
The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. We'll be right back.
Hate the gym? Well, we do, too. CrossFit South Bay is an elite strength and conditioning facility with a no-gimmick approach to fitness. The CrossFit program will have you running, jumping, lifting, climbing, and moving in dynamic and powerful ways. There are no machines, ellipticals, TVs, or mirrors.
We train everyone from professional and collegiate athletes to soccer moms and retired teachers. With an average class size of 10, you get personal coaching and training. We sweat together, get fit together, and have a darn good time doing it. From beginners to weekend warriors to professional athletes, CrossFit South Bay is for anyone wanting to be in the best shape of their life. Visit us online at www.crossfitsouthbay.com and mention the NetLive for your 15% discount on any of our membership packages.
Volleyballnetwork.com. That's a little Noah King, Internal Fire for you. Give you a little sample of that. Reed, you liking that music?
That's good music.
Dude, I like that song. That's a good one. Can't find it anywhere. Not on iTunes, not anywhere. Had to get it off the guy's MySpace page. Tried to pay him for it. Actually emailed him, MySpace him. Hey, Noah, can I pay you for this song? Because it's awesome. And nothing. Nothing back. So had to use the audio equipment. Rip that one right off.
Hey, at least it's a different song, you know? We've been getting a lot of slack for playing the exact same songs over and over again. Accepting applications, by the way,
yeah,
for music coordinators.
Music. Throw it out here. It's no problem. Musical recommendations, anything we can use would be great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again. I have to try and pull up some decent music to go with it here. Who do we want to have? Who are we looking for? I don't know that we can change. We're trying to get away from it. We've worked like heck to get away from it. It just has to.
Oh, you can't. The texts are going to be flying in.
They're still number one.
From our friends around the country that just hate this.
In association with the American Volleyball Coaches Association.
If you hate this, have a song better than it.
The Net Live is proud to present the College Volleyball Weekly. The best of college volleyball every week. Until someone knocks him off, it's the Gators. So there you go. We have our resident experts back for the College Volleyball Weekly. They've carried us through the entire season. Dave Reed and Holly McPeak on air at the same time. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hey, guys. We picked them last week. We talked a lot about it, and now we have some results to talk about. What really piqued your interest in the NCAA tournament so far?
Well, gosh, there have been so many great matches. How about Florida going 5 with Florida State? That was a little bit of a surprise that Florida State pushed them that much. And then, obviously, Washington sweeping Hawaii. Something that I expected, well, I didn't expect a sweep. I expected a win for Washington because they're so good in Seattle. But a sweep of Hawaii was a big surprise.
Dave?
The one that I was really watching was Missouri beating fifth-seeded Northern Iowa. I called that one. I thought they had a good shot at it. And I think they're a good team coming out of a tough conference, and they're going to they might even go a little bit farther.
Holly, on the Pac-10 side, Arizona seemed like a huge disappointment. I actually picked them to go all the way through to the Final Four and make a run, but out in the first round.
Yeah, definitely disappointing match for Arizona. Not sure what happened there. Pretty disappointing, though, because they were representing the Pac-10, and you'd expect them to go further. But Missouri's been the surprise team, and they have a good shot against Duke on Friday.
Holly, talk about Washington playing at home, taking down Hawaii, and then their matchup with Nebraska.
Well, Washington played their perfect game. They stayed in system, and when they stay in system, they are so good. They passed extremely well, took Hawaii out of their game, And both Roland and Bianca Roland, Becky Perry, and Kendra Carlson all had fantastic matches. So I think Washington's going to be tough in Seattle. Playing Nebraska should be interesting. Nebraska has a lot of size, a lot of physicality. But the other game, is Cal Minnesota, looks to be interesting as well. I'm looking forward to watching both of those matches on Friday.
Dave, last year we had Megan Hodge from Penn State. We had Destiny Hooker from Texas. Talk about a few of the players that are out there that we should be watching to have a chance to lead their teams to a national championship.
I think the player that you start with is Alex Lineman at Stanford. You know, she gives Stanford somebody on the pin that whenever they need a big point, they can go there. And they've also got the flexibility with Cassidy Lichtman. So they've got that 1-2 punch that's going to be really tough for somebody just to shut down. Same with Alex Jupiter at USC. You know, she's so strong, she can get a point almost at will. Tara Murray at Cal is another player. You know, they're so good that I don't see how you can stop them. But the one team that's playing really well right now is Texas. And they've got so many options right now. They ran the 6-2 against UCLA. And they hit, I think it was 325 as a team. Julian Fawcett was awesome. Rachel Adams had 12 kills on 18 swings. She had 583 with 8 kills. I mean, they're really on a roll right now.
Well, the interesting thing about Texas is Michelle Coker has been setting for them since Hannah Allison went out with an injury. Hannah Allison came back in for Texas in the third set and led them to victory against UCLA. I believe they were down 4-0 to UCLA in the third set. So Hannah Allison, freshman setter, back up in the lineup. I think that was the interesting story for Texas.
Holly, reflecting back on UCLA season, I know you covered them a few times. They got to be pretty proud after, obviously, Andy stepping down, Mike coming in as a first-year coach, and losing your setter, who was the freshman of the year, and Amanda Gill to Washington. That's a pretty good season for the Bruins.
I think Mike Seeley did a fantastic job at UCLA. They were one of the toughest teams to play for anybody. I believe they upset number 2 Stanford at one point. They pushed everybody to 5 and played extremely well, losing Katie Camp, their middle blocker, their top middle blocker, hurt them going into the playoffs. And I think that was the difference, you know, playing a team like Texas, who's so big in the middle.
You know, Dave, the one matchup I look at where I can see there possibly being an upset is Florida-Purdue.
Yeah, you know what? They play really well, Purdue does. And you know, Dave Shondell does a great job there. I think Florida's going to get past Purdue. I think Florida's problem is going to be when they face Texas at Gregory Gym. You know, this is a different Texas team. It's a different Illinois team than the Illini when they beat Texas earlier in the year. Without DeBruyler, that really changed them. Texas found itself now, and I think that region's going to come down to a Texas-Florida match. This will be the 8th time they've played in the NCAA tournament. Texas is leading 4-3, but it'll be the third match that they played in Austin. I think Texas is going to make it to the Final Four again.
Guys, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, and Dave, I'll start with you. Tim Jensen just came on and talked about kind of the lunacy being confirmed in the seedings. After having it all come down a couple of rounds, what are your thoughts on how the seedings went?
Well, you know, part of the problem is the volleyball tournament still loses money, so I understand what they're trying to do, keeping seeds close to home and keeping the first and second rounds close to home. So, you know, I think the Northern Iowa getting the 5th seed, you know, that was probably a stretch. You know, there are a couple others, but I can't really fault the committee too much because I understand that side of it because I am in college athletics and I understand the financial side. But, you know, at the end of the day, I still think you've probably got 16 of the best teams playing this weekend and, you know, anything can happen from here.
Holly, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, obviously the committee has a really tough job. The UNI was, in my opinion, a big mistake. Putting Cal behind USC, you know, SC did beat Cal twice, but I thought that was a little bit interesting just in terms of Cal winning the Pac-10 with Stanford. But for the most part, I think the seeds look pretty good. And like you said, we're going to see some of the best teams competing to get to that semifinal, and that's what's important.
So, Dave, I heard you mention earlier that you think Florida's going to have trouble when they run into Texas. You have Texas beating Illinois. You have Florida coming out of there. You have Texas winning that matchup in Austin.
You know what? I think Texas is going to do it. I was a little surprised that Florida State gave Florida as much trouble as they did. And, you know, actually, Florida's got a big call late in the match. They were down 13-11, and there was a service ace for Florida State, and the referees called it an illegal contact. They had to replay the point, and they caught a break there. So I really think Texas is just on a roll. I think that's going to be the team that comes out of that region.
Holly, looking at the Seattle region, we have Cal. They're going to have to face off with Minnesota and then Washington against Nebraska. How are you picking that one, and do you think we're going to see a Pac-10 team come out of that grouping?
Well, I am, you know, I've seen Cal play all season, and I've been super impressed with the balance that they have. Carly Lloyd is the glue on that team. She just makes everything better. Such a great athlete. Keeps them in system, and they've got five hitters who are effective. Obviously, Tara Murray leading the way. Defensively, I think they're going to put pressure on Nebraska, and I think we could see Cal come out of that bracket.
So you've got Cal versus Nebraska, and then you have Cal defeating Nebraska. How about Stanford on the other side? Can Stanford continue to run the table through their regional in Dayton?
I think so. I think Stanford has a really good chance. I saw them one of the last matches of the year where they lost to Cal, which was not their best match, but maybe that was a wake-up call right before NCAA tournament. USC can give them fits just in terms of size. USC has picked up their defensive numbers, and that could be a good match. I think it's going to be Stanford-USC to get to that semifinal.
Interesting. Now, I'm wondering, with the other bracket that remains, University Park, Pennsylvania, Penn State, are they just going to walk through, or does Mizzou or Duke have a chance to dethrone them, or even Oklahoma?
Well, I think Oklahoma is going to give them their money's worth, because Oklahoma can be a physical team, and, you know, I think Penn State will win the match, but I certainly don't think it's going to be easy. And then on the other side, I think Missouri-Duke, that's probably going to go five. You know, both teams, they played well. You know, Missouri coming out of the Big 12, you know, they are used to playing at a higher level than I think Duke is coming out of the ACC. But Duke has played really well, especially down the stretch. And, you know, I think that's going to be a good match. But, you know, the bottom line is I think Penn State's going to come out of there.
So we've got Penn State, Florida, Stanford, and perhaps Cal or Nebraska coming into the Final Four. Who's your eventual champion here after the first week of play?
Who, me or Dave?
Go ahead, Holly. Sorry.
Oh, gee, thanks. You know, it's such a tough call. Florida is really balanced, got lots of great senior leadership. Penn State's been playing really well towards the end of the season. They've got a small setter, which a team like Stanford could probably take advantage of on the outside, as well as some of the other teams. I don't know. I picked Stanford on the show to start, but it could be Cal or Stanford. But I like Florida and Penn State, too. So I'm going to say one of the Pac-10 teams.
One of the Pac-10 – wait a minute, Holly. We have to pin you down to an actual team here.
Okay, I picked Stanford the previous time. I'm going to say Cal today.
Ah, okay. All right. Dave, how about you?
You know what? I'm going to take Nebraska running the table against the Pac-10 teams.
I like it.
I'm on a limb, and the reason why is since Nebraska lost to Texas on October 27th, they've won 10 in a row. They haven't lost a set. They've got two great setters, but especially with Sydney Anderson, I really like the way she plays. And, you know, they're just playing well. I think they're on a roll.
Good stuff, guys.
Last time I saw Nebraska at Texas, they had won 18 matches in a row. Sometimes you get a little stale. You need a little, you know, battle right before to remind you that you're not perfect. But we'll see. I think Nebraska is super deep. They have the personnel. I don't know if the chemistry is there, but if it is, they definitely can be a team to beat.
Holly, are you in Seattle this weekend, you said?
I'm going to Seattle on Friday.
Oh, that's going to be good times.
All right, very good. Dave Reed, Holly McPeak, thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
See you next Monday.
All right, we'll talk to you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, there it goes. It's still Go Gators. Peter, you gave me some other music. We got to play that later.
I did. I sent it to your email. In your email. It might be using next week. You got to listen to it. Go Gators! Go Gators! Go Gators! Reed loves that.
I love it. I love it.
That was the College Volleyball Weekly.
Yeah, you're going to have to check your email.
The Net Barney. Live and American Volleyball Coaches Association. I've got it right here. Just cue it up.
Yeah, I mean, we got to play
what
it.
Kind of music we got here? Texas Fight? Oh, it's home video.
It's home video from the Texas match.
We can do better than that.
Home video, really? Can we get an MP3?
Yeah. Can maybe we get an MP3, please?
Can I get maybe a tape or a regular CD?
Fans of the show, they like to send us stuff.
I like it.
Hey, speaking of music, we might have an in-house guest, a professional coming.
Coming in?
No, not Mike Lambert. You know this person very well. And I'm just going to leave it at that. And it's going to be a big surprise. And it's going to be awesome.
It's not Bemis.
It's not? How many other people do we know that can play music? I mean,
by the way, 110 in the chat room. Al B has got it lighted up here with his announcement coming up soon.
How about this one? Should we play this music some more?
This is, no, come on now.
God's name are you doing this show?
This is Dan Madden.
Oh, my God. Danny, did that guy used to be on this show?
Once upon
what
a
happened
time,
to him? He's not in the chat room anymore?
We replaced him with you.
Oh, no wonder why the show's ratings are flying through the roof.
All right. This is Dan. Come on, say yes.
I'm ready, Dan.
Oh, my God, I remember this song.
Weren't you a judge in this contest?
Yeah, I judged this contest.
All right, that's enough Dan Madden. That's more Dan Madden than we needed.
That's plenty.
All right. Hey, I wanted to go back to a note that we had earlier on the program about the Greek League. We're going to get to Albie in just a second, but the Greek League has suspended play. The professional teams have suspended play. The government, of course, having well-documented extreme financial difficulties, required a bailout from the European Union. And now the Greek League had been promised, the figure I read was $150,000 per team from the Greek government, and they have not gotten that money, so they've decided to suspend play. Brooke Billings, playing in that league, has had quite a few blogs on it. And one of the big questions that came up was, do you go to practice? The league is suspended.
Yeah.
You're probably behind on payments to begin with. You're not getting paid going forward. Should you go to practice?
You got to leave is what I think. It's so tough. It is so tough in these situations. I know, because when you leave, you're giving up all opportunity at money. I mean, it's gone.
Right.
But when you start playing the game of not going to practice, then they have something against you. And I don't see this situation getting better in Greece, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it'd be real tough to stay and play and practice and train with all the uncertainty, not getting paid. You have to stick together on that and not play.
I said, if you're not getting paid, you don't go to practice. End of story. You could have a career-ending injury at any point during any practice. And it was an interesting discussion. I went back and forth on his Facebook page, and Pat Powers chimed in with a go to practice, which is a noble thing to say, but a stupid thing to do. You cannot go to practice if you are not getting paid. End of story. You're not really under contract anymore. They violated the contract. You're loosely under contract in Greece anyway, at any time you have a deal there. There's just no way you can go. I wonder how, Reed, this affects the Champions League and what's going to happen with some of those matches.
It's going to be really interesting. And, of course, there's going to be a trickle effect. You know, this is Greece has a tremendous problem financially anyway. But this is going to affect all the leagues eventually. It's only a matter of time. I hope they can fix it, but, it's a hard situation. That's all there is to it.
I also wonder what the FIVB is going to do if players start leaving teams who had contracts, and let's say the league does come back. Will those players be free and clear somewhere else? You're talking about Ivan Milkovic playing in Greece. He's one of the best opposites in the world, and not the best opposite in the world, from Serbia. You have Brooke Billings in that league. You have lots of other professionals from Greek players who could garner a decent salary in other countries. I'm interested to see if those players start to make moves. You go 1 or 2 weeks without a salary and without any possible resolution, where is all that going to go? We'll have to keep following that story and see how it all shakes out. But you can check out Brooke Billings' blog on it. We'll get a link up there on the Facebook page and have Brooke's information out there.
You ready to bring in
Brooke's
guest?
Brooke's blog was, before we move on to that, I don't know if you guys saw Brooke's blog about LeBron James. Did you have a chance to check that out?
Oh, yeah, I read it. I was involved in that whole situation. Reed, do you want to tell the story real quick?
I'm not going to tell the story, but I'm going to say to check out Brooke's blog. There was a story about LeBron James. Of course, this was a big week as he was going back to Cleveland to play, and it's definitely I can verify the validity of the story. You can verify it. It's true, and it's disappointing.
A great story.
Yeah, it's definitely disappointing, but 100% accurate. It ended up with a LeBron James jersey being taped as a doormat to a building.
Can we tell that story later?
Later.
Please?
Okay. Not now.
We
have a more important guest than any of this nonsense we've been talking
we
about.
We do. He's been waiting in the queue, and I'll tell you what. He got on this chat room and on the message boards, and it jumped up. It's now at 114 people. I've known him a long, long time. He grew up here in the South Bay. He started his career at UCLA, then went on to the University of Hawaii. Went to the beach in 1993, played with Matt Unger. He's been playing ever since. He's really one of the great promoters and ambassadors of our game. He also owns Volleyball Vacations. If you go to volleyballvacations.com, he will take you on a trip around the world, Turks and Caicos, all kinds of great places. You party and you play with the pros. And people like Kerry Walsh go on these, Casey Jennings, Phil Dahlhauser, Sean Rosenthal. He really, really is one of the greats to play this game in terms of getting the people out there, getting them involved. Whatever tournament we go to, he has fans there. He's great with the people. And this is Albert Hanneman joining us. Al B, what's up, bud?
Hey, thanks, Geet. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. You're on with Kevin Barnett. You got Reed in Siberia. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hi, boys.
Done.
Albert, you and I were texting back and forth this weekend. And I know you have an announcement.
We're when the AVP went down that famous Friday the 13th in August, we were all thrown for a loop. And actually, months before that, Geeter, I had some good conversations with some groups and people that wanted to see the sport continue to grow. So I had a nice head start on that. Unfortunately, when that did happen, we were ready to go. And I have a great team put together. We started a new tour called the National Volleyball League, and we're looks like we're going to partner with IMG and USAV to promote and help the sport continue in 2011 and beyond.
Wow, Albert, that's good stuff. Now, what about the USAV tournaments that we've been reading about, the four or five that they're going to put on? Is that in conjunction with yours or separate from yours?
Yeah, no, we're in collaboration with those guys. They need to have a couple more events. Adding our three that we've confirmed so far is going to give them eight, which is a lot more appealing for the players to actually have, a series of events that they can plan this summer.
Very cool, Albert. Can you give us? I don't know if the dates are set yet or the cities, but can you talk about that and where people can expect to see these?
Yeah, I know. And it's good. We talked about, the whole volleyball vacation idea with playing party with the pros and trying to give a little bit better experience for the players, fans, and sponsors, just going out there. And you saw the VIP fan experience that I ran a couple years ago and really focusing on, growing with the juniors as well during our camp. So we're going to come into cities early and kind of activate what we're doing, with all the adults and juniors in those cities and turning it into a big family out there. And that's kind of what's beautiful about our sport is, we're so accessible. But I think with the AVP, I've been playing for 18 years on that tour. It's just lacked that that special touch that kind of keeps the sport growing. So we're looking at some pretty big markets, April 15th to the 17th in Miami, June 3rd to the 5th in Atlanta, and then October 13th to the 15th in Vegas, Geeter. And I know you're going to love that one.
Oh, I hate that idea. God,
yeah, I know.
You're already hired. Good for you. You're right on board.
I'm in.
Well, Geet's already in before I started this. I had to get his full commitment before I even announced anything.
I'm on board.
He was a critical piece of the puzzle. Well, Albie, tell us, we've talked a lot about the business of beach volleyball and what it's selling or how it's being promoted and funded. How does your new effort change the model at all?
Well, it's a good question. I think volleyball is living and dying on, our TV buy and just sponsorship alone. So
we kind of went the other way where everyone was fighting, and there was a bunch of other groups out there that are trying to get the players first to make sure the players were going to be available to play in their tour or their events that they were trying to offer. But, you know, with the FIVB doing so well, and they got to make sure they're making a living, they're going to be playing in those events for sure. So I knew that, picked some dates around those FIVB events, and started with getting the money first. So, you know, we got really good people on our team. We went and got investors to come on board first, and then the sponsorship would be, you know, a bonus to try to bring back that money and not lose too much in 2011. I mean, it's going to be a tough year for anyone trying to run an event, and it was a wake-up call for me just seeing what the actual budget looked like to run an event at a high level. So, you know, that's a good question, Barney. I mean, just, you know, looking at how our model had to differ. I mean, the AVP was always, you know, getting these committed to these big NBC deals and then having to get the sponsorship to cover that, and then just running an event in general is so expensive that, you know, we had to make sure we had the money first and get some good, solid people along that are ready for a long ride. You know, it's going to take 3 to 5 years before this thing really turns around and gets going, but we're committed to doing it.
Well, yeah, talking about the time it's going to take and the commitment, what is the pitch to the investors that you've brought on board?
Well, really, it's first that I have Geeter. Once they know that I have Geeter, then they were all ready to go.
They all ran for the door.
No, you know, it's the vision. You know, we want to make sure that they know that, you know, we're going to focus on the other things. You know, helping to grow junior volleyball and you know, get the adults out there and have them somewhere to interact with the pros, and the sponsors knowing that we're doing all we can to, you know, give them what they're looking for. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, this sport is like I said, the pros are so accessible and it's such a great lifestyle sport, but we haven't really focused on the entertainment side. I mean, I love volleyball as much as anyone, but it was hard for me to watch an hour final. I mean, as good as Geeter is, it's tough to watch volley for an hour with Todd and Phil smashing everyone down. I mean, it's tough, and there's so much entertainment value to the sport, and the players are so interesting that we're going to really focus on the entertainment side and what happens outside of volleyball and how people actually play this sport as a professional.
Albie, volleyball-wise, though, will it be the usual format, 16 teams, 32 teams? Will it be big court, small court, rally score?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to stay with what the Olympics are doing. I mean, it's going to be short court for sure and rally score. And, you know, we're trying to get 32 teams per event. I don't know if we're going to have to go 16, but we'll definitely have a qualifier either way to give everyone an opportunity to play. And, you know, we just want to keep growing the sport and offer it to as many players as possible.
When you say entertainment, all of a sudden WWE comes to mind. Will there be storylines? Will Phil have a fake mustache and beard?
God, that'd be fantastic, actually.
I mean, I got a call into George Romaine already, and if I can get him on board, then I think we have an easy sell.
I'll tell you what, he's definitely the villain. He could be like Virgil for somebody. I mean, he'd be the big hater guy. But what, Albie, when I think about volleyball, when we've talked about it, we wonder what it sells. And I've heard you already talk about the lifestyle portion. That seems to be the main thing that everyone mentions with volleyball. Are there any companies out there that really want to identify themselves with volleyball, or are there some areas that you're looking to exploit or someone you know is looking to exploit, whether it be technical products or casual products? How is that all going to, I guess, change around, hopefully drive dollars for the tour and the sport?
That's a great question. I mean, I think what's beautiful is getting rid of the word exclusivity. I mean, with what I've lived my whole life is having to be creative and find sponsors that would be able to fit into the exclusivity or out of the exclusivity that the AVP forced on the players. So, you know, we want to make sure that what we're doing is with, you know, solid brands that are going to keep our image and you know, we're not, I mean, no offense to what the AVP had to do, but we're not going to have Johnsonville sausages out there and trying to, you know, show that we're a cool sport. I mean, we're really lucky to have IMG on board and James Lights over there. I mean, the guy, you know, he owns the U.S. Open of Surfing Championship over at Huntington, and that's the ideal situation that we want Pro Beach Volleyball to get back to, where it's a cool sport again. And, you know, looking for brands and having brands and you know, that want to be in that group of people, you know, where it's a fun, healthy, you know, demographic. And, you know, there's a lot of companies out there, and there's a lot of people that love the sport that have money that want to see it grow. And, you know, after 18 years of seeing the struggles that we've gone through, they're ready to have a fresh start and be involved.
You're listening to Net Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. We're talking to Albert Hanneman, who is constructing a new tour for the sport of beach volleyball. Albie, we've talked a lot about the players and the instability inside, but also the bickering between players, fighting over money, tours, contracts, sponsors, and all those different things. Do you think that the lack of an AVP and really the final destruction of the brand has brought the players together in any way, or are you still seeing some of that same infighting?
That's a great question. Again, we had a meeting on Friday at Furby's facility over in Carson, and it was refreshing to see the players, you know, coming together. And we're going to have an event this week, I think Thursday at Sangria in Hermosa, just to have all the players kind of come together and sign up to be part of the PBVA. So we'll actually have a union for once, because one of the things we wanted to make sure is that we don't have anything if we're not together. I mean, I'm still a player, yet I'm trying to give an opportunity, the best opportunity for the players to continue playing. So, you know, there's a lot of trust issues. I mean, you know, there are guys out there that are in it for the wrong reasons, and, you know, the players know that. But I think it's really just a trust issue and having more communication. I mean, the biggest problem with the AVP through my history of playing has been the bad communication. You know, I mean, this sport, rumors start so quickly and spread so fast, and, you know, as long as you're going to do what you say you're going to do, then I think we have a chance to really have a fresh start. And I think that's what everyone's excited about, is finally that brand. There's no more confusion, and, you know, hopefully they don't try to bring it back, because I think it saturates the market and makes it harder for the good people to try to get something good going here.
Hey, Albert, what's your take on television? It always seems to be there always seems to be a debate there. There's people that believe we need to have it, and others that say it's too expensive. What's your take on that? What do you see the future being?
I mean, I think you need it. I think you need it, but I don't think it's crucial for the success of the sport. I mean, the way streaming video, and I mean, look at what you guys are doing. There's so many ways to get your exposure and make sure you're getting your CPMs in a situation that doesn't base on. I mean, you can't really tell what you're getting on a TV show anyway. I mean, when we're getting. One of the things, you know, talking about the entertainment value of what we're doing, I mean, we're going to get the media. We have some really good media partners right now that are focusing on that. I mean, last year, or 2009, we had, I think, six different groups that were offering to do reality shows for the tour, and they couldn't pull it together and take advantage of that opportunity. So, I mean, there are definitely opportunities and groups out there that want to do that. So, you know, I think it's important, Geet, but I think 2011, it's not crucial, but it's really getting in the game, you know, having a solid foundation for 2011 and getting ready for the Olympics in 2012 and really taking over.
Al, we've got a question coming off the chat board. They still want to know about the revenue equation. In the past, it's been about 80% sponsorship dollars. Is that still the case for your effort along with IMG?
Well, you definitely need sponsors. I mean, we can get into this again, and people are free to email me, and I can tell them what's going on and how we're doing this, because we don't have enough time on the show to go over it. But, you know, I mean, you do need sponsors. In 2011, we're a little bit behind the gun here. I mean, the ADP announcing so late, I think, was a strategy on their part to make it harder for groups like mine to come in and secure sponsorship. So, you know, we're going to make sure that we're good with our investors and that we're getting as much revenue as we can in other ways. You know, our merchandise and licensing is really important. I mean, we're bringing in Volleyball Vacations to help fill heads and beds at different cities, so they'll want to pay money to have us come there. I mean, we just have to have a lot to prove right now, but, you know, definitely sponsorship is a big key to it.
What about, I know Barney had mentioned this, but Nick Lewin, have you talked to him?
Well, Nick has some plans, and, you know, he was the RGSM. They own the tour, the majority of the tour, and they just had a bankruptcy hearing on Thursday, which they came in and tried to buy back the tour for basically nothing, and the judge sent them back out and had them come back with a decent offer. And now I think on the 15th it's going to have another hearing to see who wants to come in and counteroffer what theirs was. And, you know, I think a lot of the past creditors and sponsors are really upset, because there's no plan in the future to take care of those guys and grow with them to pay them back, you know, something that they're owed. And I think that's wrong. You know, I think there needs to be some kind of formula to help them out and you know, keep that positive sponsorship back in what we're trying to do. So they're killing us on that side.
Albert, you mentioned your volleyball vacations business quite a few times during this. We've talked about it. Tell our listeners a little bit more about it if they want to go on a volleyball vacation.
Yeah, I mean, we just got back from Turks and Caicos. We had, you know, Elaine Youngs and Benjamin Smith and Sean Rosenthal and 15 other pro players, and you know, we had over 350 people out there, and we basically go to different resorts around the world, and you know, our slogan is play and party with the pros. I mean, we come and run tournaments for them in the morning, we do clinics in the afternoon, then we play open play with the pros, and then we go to happy hour, we go to dinner, and then we have our parties, and you know, we bring in musicians and different entertainment theme parties, and then good luck to you when you got to do it again the next day for 7 days straight. So we've been doing that for over 15 years, and you know, we've decided to come and bring them to the States this year. So it's going to support, you know, what we're doing and other groups that are out there, you know, ambassadors around the country that are running cool tournaments or just want some support. We're going to send our pros out there and help them, you know, create that vibe.
Where can people go on the internet to sign up?
Yeah, volleyballvacations.com, and you know, our next event will be in Cancun, Mexico, March 7th to the 14th. We haven't even announced that yet. And then we're doing our first family volleyball vacations in June in Sandpiper. It's in Port St. Lucie, Florida, at the new Club Med. They just renovated, spent $50 million. They open on December 18th. It's only all-inclusive in North America. So it's a beautiful property, and we're glad to kind of bring it back into the States now and you know, have this whole push on you know, getting people together with the pros and just growing the sport.
Albert Hanneman has been one of the most successful self-promoters in the sport and inside of his own businesses. Great success. Albert, we wish you the best with your tour possibilities here in 2011 and continuing to grow back the sport of beach volleyball. Thanks for joining us here today.
Yeah, thanks so much, guys.
All right, Albert.
All right,
Hanneman.
I'll be later, bud.
See you, bud.
Good stuff there from Albie. I think it's still interesting to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, there's still so much uncertainty up in the air. And I know Todd Rogers had a blog recently saying, and I'd love to have him on the show, but, you know, referring to the part that there's just so many rumors still swirling around beach volleyball. You know, it's a bummer. I know talking to Karen Casey and I saw Sean Rosenthal the other day. As of now, they're just kind of planning on moving over to Europe for 6-7 months and playing on the FIVB, and if something happens, then, you know, obviously come back.
If you're a player of that level, that's what I think you're going to have to do, because I don't know if the prize money is going to approach anything that's reasonable in this first season. I think 3 years from now, I'll look back and say, yeah, maybe it's better, the economy's better, and the brand has been built back and has a little more trust and credibility with sponsors.
Yeah.
But right now, those are huge questions.
I'll tell you what, friend, I say this every time. It has been a great show. I know you're going to continue on, but I have to get out fast.
I think Reed and I are just going to wrap it up. It's been a good one. Good information from Julianne Fawcett.
Yeah,
Tim
she was
Jensen,
great.
Holly McPeak, Dave Reed.
A lot of activity on Volley Talk about it as well.
And Albie Hanneman. I wish him the best. I hope that it all works out.
Yeah, me too.
So, all right, Gator. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah,
good
there was
luck.
An idiot actually on Volley Talk that sidetracked me because he talked about our
club.
He got
all rattled.
The guy said the club makes $1 million. I was like, dude, if our club made $1 million.
You should
profit,
be sponsoring beach.
I would be dancing in the streets announcing it to everybody. This guy lost his mind.
No, you wouldn't, because Jensen would be taking home $990,000, and
I
would be taking home $10,000.
Seriously doing backflips. I mean, talk about a jackass.
You get part ownership in that?
I do have a small percentage.
Small percentage?
Yeah, I can tell you what it is. $9 million, man.
Sandwiches and chips?
So go on Volley Talk and crush that guy. Go
there
for
you
it.
Go. Yeah. Reed, what do you think about
Where's Brandon
from
when
the
I
beach?
Need him?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it sounds good. It sounds like they have a plan, and it sounds like there's more collaboration as opposed to a bunch of individual factions. And you know me. I've been harping on the same thing week in and week out. The players have to organize. So to hear that the PVBA is still in effect, is still in play, is great news. And, you know, Albie's a smart guy. And it sounds like when you're not committed to those big dollar network contracts, there is some more flexibility in it. And it sounds more like maybe what we think of a PGA, you know, where there's several different entities and you could be sponsored by a Ford in Hermosa and you could be sponsored by Chevrolet in Florida. So, you know, I obviously wish them the best. That's all we can hope for is that they succeed in partnering with IMG, I think, and USAV is a good thing.
It still concerns me a little bit that there really isn't any finite numbers behind what's being thrown out there. When you talk about the sponsorship equation, I like that Albie talks about getting the money up front. I think that is important so you know what your guarantee for the year is. You're not in the situation that the AVP was in this past year where they were saying that things were going to be at a certain dollar level, and they really knew that that was not going to happen. They were hoping to sell it in the interim between when they announced that that was the case and when they actually had to pay the money. I think that's a good plan to actually have the dollars up front and then make some promises. But I think it's going to be a tough road to hoe, and you heard Albie say it. He said, hey, 3 to 5 years is what we're looking at here for this plan. And I think that's true. I don't think we're going to have any clarification for about 3 years. But somebody's going to have to find a way to make money outside of just sponsorships. It's going to have to be the gate. It's going to have to be some clothing. It's going to have to be some sort of product that's associated with it. You're going to have to do something, I think, to generate revenue from another source on a consistent basis.
Well, I think he did tell us that, you know, he told us the Volley Vacations was going to be at these locations. And I think that's so smart because obviously they're going to be making money from the Volley Vacations. And also it's going to put people in the seats, and it's going to put people there that want to be there and that love volleyball and want to participate. So I think it's a great idea. And that's just the beginning. You know, I think there's a lot of separate businesses and properties that can be built around the AVP. Just beach volleyball in general that can be like that.
Yeah, you can't say the AVP anymore.
I know, it's ingrained.
No, it's gone. And I think that's going to be an important change. And people have talked about, oh, the AVP has too much value because people know about it outside of the sport of volleyball. I disagree. I think it being gone is actually good. I think you need to have an end of an era. You need to have some other entity come into the space and take over. And I look forward to seeing what that is, and we'll continue to follow it here on The Net Live. Reed, I think we're coming to the end of the show here.
I'm sorry, Kevin?
Are you getting callers again?
I'm trying to screen a call. I'm trying to do two things at once.
Listen,
you know, I found it interesting that that the hearing with RJSM didn't go so well. I didn't know that, trying to buy back the tour at a low value price and kind of cut out the debt. I'm glad that the judge stood up for that. And obviously if Nick comes on the show, we can hear what their strategy is moving forward.
Yeah, I'd be interested to hear from Nick Lewin, because I'd like to know exactly how that process is working and how they're approaching it. In the filing that I read, an article on the internet talked about the fact that there was a bid out there and you had to be above that bid by $50,000. It sounded like, from what I read there and from what Albie had to say, that it was their own bid for their property to get it back through another way or back channel and eliminate some of the debt. I don't really know. I would be interested to hear from Nick into exactly that and find out what the future is for that entity. Like I said, I'd like to see it just go away. I don't think you need the name anymore. I don't think people should invest in the name. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there are people at NBC who still find value in the name. I just think there's a lot of baggage when it comes to the sponsorship side. You're talking about 80% of your income. There's a lot of baggage with that particular brand name, AVP, and maybe it can be something else. So the question will be balancing that value of public recognition and the fact that AVP has been the beach volleyball moniker for so long versus the debt and the poor sponsor obligations that have happened. All right, Reader, what do you have? We have another caller here.
No, I think we just have some listeners in the queue.
Very good. It's been another great show. A lot of fun. We've got Dave Williams coming up next week, so we'll have more information on beach. I'm sure we'll have lots of questions for Dave. And if you have questions based on we've talked to Albie, we've talked to James Lights over the last few weeks, we need to talk to Dave Williams next week. Email us, thenetlive@gmail.com. Become a fan on Facebook. We talked about Brooke Billings. We've got that link up there now on our Facebook page. We do update that page throughout the week with questions and interactions and information about the sport, about upcoming programs, about past guests. Go on Facebook and search The Net Live. Become a fan there. There's a lot of different ways you can get a hold of us and be involved with the program. So thenetlive@gmail.com and friend us on Facebook. Reed, good luck the rest of the week. Hope you don't get stuck on any more jets and having private delays in Russian airports overnight.
Yeah, I'll have to tell that story next week.
Yeah, we'll have a lot of good stories next week. This was a packed program. Thanks very much for joining us here on The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. I'm your host, Kevin Barnett. Geeter's already gone. Just a pair of headphones laying there and an old ice mocha.
The Ryan Seacrest of volleyball.
That's right. He's got off to another job. Reader, get some furniture, man.
All right, man.
Live.
We'll see you next week. Normal time, people. Monday morning. We're out.